shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thy arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth three-seater frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. In thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our God while life shall last and our eternal home.
Good morning, church. It is so good to worship with you this morning. Tonight is the beginning of our new monthly Bible study called Second Helping. We'll be meeting every Sunday on Zoom for now and together in the future to dig deeper into the contents of that morning's sermon. But we're so excited to start this new Bible study with you, and we look forward to seeing your faces and hearing your voices tonight. So join us at 6 p.m. on Zoom for a Second Helping. The information for Zoom was sent out in an email, and it's also available on the Facebook event page, but if you can't find it, let us know, and we'll get that information to you. We had a great board meeting this week, and we discussed the current lockdown situation and how that affects us as a church. To keep you informed, we'll be sending out a letter from our church leadership regarding our meeting and the decisions that came out of it. Thank you for your prayers, not only for the LARGSNAS leadership team, but for all of the pastors, the church boards, and leadership teams here in LARGS and around the world. This is a challenging time, and we need God's guidance and help navigating now more than ever. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise to us that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst. Lord, we welcome you amongst us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each one of us. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice, open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom, open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance, and open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all of this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
God's hand. Sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom by water still, or troubled sea still, 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand.
Mark 4, 1 through 20. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell onto good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. This is the written word of God for the people of God.
It's time to gather your friends and family, get out your Bibles and your sermon notes, and open your hearts and minds, because this is another Sunday sermon in a series called, And Then,
Jesus is Lord!
Good morning. Good morning. We are so thankful that you have joined us today, and whatever time and in whatever place it is that you're joining us, we hope that you'll commit to having church at home with us in this virtual space and make an effort to gather with friends or with family as you're able. And we know that the Spirit will be present with us all, binding us together in the love of God. I believe God has something profound and life-changing to say to each of us today, if we have ears to hear. You know, as I was writing this sermon, what my ears heard several times this week was a car alarm. You may know that our flat looks out at the ferry, and cars line up to go over to Millport, and every so often someone will have left their car parked in the queue and walked up to get their ticket, and something happens. I don't know what it is, but maybe somebody walks too close to the car, or a gust of wind blows really hard, and maybe a seagull lands on it. But something happens to make that car's alarm go off. Now, those alarms are designed to alert the driver of that car and others who may be in the area that someone is trying to steal that car, or to break into it and steal what's inside. But nobody thinks that when they hear a car alarm. They think, would you turn off that infernal racket? Because we know there's no theft going on. And it turns out that most of the time, we're right. Research shows that 95 to 99% of the times that a car alarm disturbs everybody in the neighborhood, it's just a false alarm. Now, I had never thought about it, but I read about it this week, and it turns out that there's a whole field of research into human behavior in response to alarms. And it's an important field of research because some alarms, unlike most car alarms that you hear, are an attempt to communicate an important message to the people who hear them. Messages like there's a tornado on the way, or there has been some unauthorized entry, or there's a fire in the building. And the research into fire alarms is fascinating because they're really important. People's lives are at risk, and every second counts when a building is on fire. What you want in a fire alarm is something that communicates clearly what the situation is and directs people to respond appropriately. So these researchers, they look into what kind of sound a fire alarm ought to have. Should it be a bell or a buzzer or a siren? And should there be a voice that tells people what to do? And what about people who can't hear or speak the language? Should there be a flashing light? But whatever the fire alarm sounds like, researchers have shown that there is a period of time when folks hear the alarm and think, what is this? Is that a fire alarm? A burglar alarm? What does this mean? And even when they conclude that it is a fire alarm, they're likely to think, that is, the meaning they interpret is, it's a false alarm, we need to make the alarm stop, and not, there is a fire, we need to get out of the building. And their response to the alarm differs according to what they're doing as well. People in a theater watching a movie respond differently when they hear a fire alarm compared to people who are relaxing by the pool at a hotel on holiday, or from a person who's sitting at their desk writing an email at work to a client or something. And all of them respond differently from a person who's in bed asleep and is awakened by the alarm. But in every case, there are those who completely miss the point of the alarm, who resist its meaning. And there are those who have ears to hear and understand, those who know what it means and respond, who tell others what's going on and who lead them to safety and rescue from the flames. That's a pretty good sermon right there. I reckon I could just stop at this point and wrap up, but we're just getting started. Today is the fourth Sunday. Can you believe that we're halfway through this series? Seems like time just passes by so quickly these days. But this is the fourth Sunday in our series called And Then Jesus Says What? And tonight is the first of our second helping Bible studies. So be sure to join us at 6 o'clock on Zoom, and we'll dig deeper into what we're looking at this morning. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at, thinking about, studying together some of the more difficult statements that are ascribed to Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, things that Jesus says that can be a bit confusing or easy to misinterpret it. And as we said last week, this series is not simply about providing answers to what does this mean or what's the correct interpretation of these statements. It's also about considering how we read the Bible and what we do when we find things in the Bible, even words that come straight from the mouth of Jesus that might not be easy to understand, things that are not obvious or straightforward, but challenging, even difficult. And we began on August 9th by looking at chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, and the title of that sermon was Jesus Says What About Peace? Because we saw that as Jesus talks with his disciples, he says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And as we looked at what that meant, we considered the way that Jesus speaks prophetically in the tradition of the prophets. And we'll see that again today. And we saw how the words of the prophet are met with division and conflict, and sometimes with rejection and even persecution and execution. And we saw how Jesus was preparing his disciples to experience that kind of reaction when they followed his example. And then, the next week, we looked at chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel, and our sermon was called, Jesus Says What About Parents? And we learned about the Greek word meseo, and we saw that even though the idea of hating your parents and your family and your life sounds extreme, even shocking, it was part of the way that Jesus was telling the crowds who listened to him that there was a difference, a big difference, between being a follower of Jesus and someone who's just tagging along watching the show. Being a follower of Jesus means, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, even family, life, possessions. And then last week, our sermon was titled, Jesus Says What About the Poor? Because we looked at John's Gospel, where Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you. And we looked at what that statement means and what it doesn't mean. And we saw that Jesus was alluding to the Torah, to the book of Deuteronomy. But we also looked at the contrast between the way that Judas and Mary responded to Jesus' presence. Judas, from his critical perspective of scarcity and greed and hypocrisy, and Mary as a true disciple, showing extravagant sacrificial love and an absolute trust in God's provision that is met with the transforming grace of Jesus. So we've asked the question, Jesus says what about peace, about parents, and about the poor? And so continuing with that alliterative theme, the title of today's sermon is Jesus Says What About Parables? Now, we all know what a parable is, or we probably think we do. Parables are these short narratives, these brief stories that Jesus tells in the Gospels. Well, in the Synoptic Gospels anyway, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's some scholarly disagreement about whether Jesus speaks in parables in the Gospel of John. But parables are stories about real life, people and things in the world around us, usually giving an illustration of what the kingdom of God is like, or what it means to be a follower of Jesus, for instance. The word parable comes from the Greek parabole, and literally that word means throwing alongside, because there are two Greek words there, para, that means alongside or beside, like parallel or paramedic or parasite. And the other word is ballo. That means to throw. You can think of the words ballistic or even just the word ball. So para, ballo, is to throw alongside. And a parable is a throwing or placing alongside. So when we say the kingdom of heaven, on the one hand, is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts. Parables throw or place one thing alongside another. Para, ballo, to throw alongside. Hang on to that thought for just a bit because you're going to hear it again. Now, this parable that we heard Pastor Tasha read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, it's also found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8 and in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Remember that for tonight's Bible study. And this parable, the parable of the sower, is sometimes called the key to the parables. And that makes sense because Jesus asks his disciples, how will you understand any parable unless you understand this one? The parable of the sower is a parable about parables. To begin to understand what that might mean, let's look at what's going on here in the fourth chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 1, and we'll get to the Jesus said what passage in just a bit. Now, by the time we get to chapter 4 of Mark's gospel, John the Baptist has proclaimed that Jesus is coming. Remember, that's where Mark starts. He doesn't give us all the Christmas story and background details that Matthew and Luke do. Jesus has been baptized and tempted in the wilderness. He's called his disciples. He's healed quite a few people and preached and cast out demons in Galilee and elsewhere. And he's already had some run-ins with the religious authorities who accused him of being possessed. And he's given the disciples authority to proclaim his message and cast out demons. And he's developed quite a following among the people in general, the hoi polloi, to use a term we used a few weeks ago. And also, as we heard a few weeks ago here, we find Jesus drawing such a crowd as he teaches along the beach that he gets into a boat with the crowd still on the shore. And then Mark tells us that he taught them many things in parables. So this parable that's coming up isn't the first parable Jesus tells, but it is the first one that Mark shares with us as we read his gospel. And Mark tells us that in his teaching, Jesus said this. He says, listen. The Greek there is akouete, from the root word akouo. Akouo. That's where we get the word acoustics. And if you speak French, you may recognize the similarity to écoute, to listen. So notice here, Jesus is giving the crowd a command. Listen up. We might say in English that way. The Greek also means to comprehend, to understand what is heard. Now keep this in mind. Now, the parable Jesus tells begins like this. A sower went out to sow. Now, here's where I wish you could see me and not just hear me, but I want you to think about what this looks like. This is a person who is sowing seeds while they walk along a path, and they're broadcasting these seeds, not plowing up a field and making a hole in the tilled soil and putting a seed inside each hole, but they're carrying a bag or a basket with seeds in it. It's probably got a strap that goes over their shoulder, and the bag's probably on their left side at their hip. And now imagine with me, you might even want to make this motion with me. The sower takes their right hand and grabs a handful of seed from the bag on their left side, and then in a sweeping motion, scatters the seed in one direction or another. Are you with me? Can you see that? Are you making that motion? So what is a sower? A sower is one who takes seeds and throws them out alongside the path they're walking. To sow seed is to throw it alongside. And to throw alongside in Greek is what? Paraballo, to throw alongside. A sower is one who paraballos. The sower here is paraballowing, the two words that come together to give us the word parable, paraballow. Well, that Jesus was clever, wasn't he? And Jesus tells us this parable as he floats alongside the crowd and spreads the word among them. So this is a parable about parables. Now, as this sower sows seed, as he throws it alongside, some of his seed falls on the path and the birds eat it. Some falls on rocky ground where it shot up quickly, but then it dies when the sun hits it because it didn't have a good root system. And other seed falls into thorns that choke it, but some seed fell on good soil, and it grew and produced 30 and 60 and 100 times as many seeds as it took to grow the plant. Now, I can relate to this because a few years ago, I decided that we were going to grow Bradford watermelons. Now, they are the sweetest, most delicious melons you have ever tasted, and they thought that they had gone extinct, but South Carolina's own Nat Bradford had brought them back on his family's farm, and he was selling his seeds to raise money for places that didn't have clean water. He called it Watermelons for Water, and he was selling his seeds for $1 each, and I bought 50 for $50, and some people thought I was crazy for paying $1 a piece for watermelon seed. That's about 70p, by the way. Until, they thought I was crazy, until they tasted a Bradford watermelon, and then they wanted one. And I gave many a melon away to folks who asked for them, and I'd tell people, now you keep some seeds for yourself, but I want you to give some back to me. And they did, and do you know, when the growing season was over, I had more than the 50 seeds I started with. In fact, I had so many seeds that I stopped counting them at 2,000. Who's crazy now? I said. Seeds that find good soil and bear fruit have a way of increasing exponentially. And then Jesus ends the parable by saying, let anyone with ears to hear, listen. And both to hear and listen there in verse 9 have the same root, akouo, as the word Jesus uses when he commands the crowd to listen before he tells them the parable. Now, here at verse 10, things really get interesting, and this is where some folks can get confused. Mark tells us that when he was alone, those who were around with him, along with the 12, ask about the parables. When he was alone. Okay, he's alone, got it. But those who were around, along with the 12, ask about the parables. But he was alone. But not really alone, since the 12 disciples were with him, and so were other people. How many? Mark doesn't say. So alone really means away from the crowds that he was with earlier. But some have stayed around. They have remained. They've followed him back to wherever he and the disciples have gone. Who's there? Mark doesn't say. But what Mark does say is that Jesus tells them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables. Okay, so these are insiders because Jesus distinguishes them from those outside, and they have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. This sounds like they have some kind of insider information, like they somehow know some truth, they have some knowledge, some gnosis, they would have called it at the time, that folks outside, those outsiders, don't have access to. It sounds like that's the situation here. But let's reserve judgment on that for just a little bit. Jesus says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And there's our Jesus Says What statement for this week, because it sounds like, and you might be tempted to think, that what Jesus is saying here is that you insiders have the secret understanding about the kingdom, but I speak in parables to the outsiders in order that they don't understand. That is, you might think there's something deceptive about the parables that keeps the outsiders out while those on the inside get the explanation, the straight truth. Now, the word that means in order that here is hina, H-I-N-A, hina. And both Mark and Luke use it, while Matthew uses the word hoti, that means because. In Matthew, Jesus says he speaks in parables because seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. Now, we'll talk more about this at the Bible study tonight, and there are some interesting differences. But in all three Gospels, Jesus is repeating the words of the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah 6, after Isaiah's lips have been touched with a live coal, and Isaiah hears the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" He answers, "Here I am, send me." Then the Lord tells him to say to the people, "Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand, until all is wasteland and nothing remains but the holy seed." The holy seed. It's right there in Isaiah 6:13. And so Jesus speaks in parables in order that these prophetic words are fulfilled. And here Jesus fulfills this scripture when he speaks the word to those whose hearts and minds are rocky ground and thorny places, when he throws the seed of the word alongside his path. And even though 3 out of 4 seeds yield nothing, the one seed that finds good soil yields 30, 60, and 100-fold. You may remember that a couple of weeks ago we talked about the way that folks respond to the prophetic voice, to the prophet who raises the alarm about God's judgment and calls for repentance. It brings not peace, but a sword, division and conflict. And Jesus, like Isaiah, brings the word of the Lord to those who do not accept it, who will reject it, and him and his invitation to follow him. But that's not everybody. And this is also why Jesus speaks in parables, so that the ones with ears to hear, the ones who obey when he cries, "Listen," may receive the seed that is the word and may bear fruit. So that the ones who have ears to hear may hear and understand. But also in order that the ones who will reject the word, in whom the word withers, in whom the word is choked, in order that they also might listen but not hear, might see but not understand. So does this "in order that they won't understand" mean that Jesus is being deceptive? Not at all. Notice in the parable, the seed that falls on rocky ground is the same as the seed that falls on good soil. The difference is not the seed. The difference is the soil. And what makes the difference in the soil? The difference between having ears to hear and ears that hear but do not understand is an openness to receive the gift of faith. It's not some special knowledge or understanding that folks have or don't have already. It's just a readiness to accept God's prevenient grace. It's a willingness to respond to the word and to follow Jesus. It's a willingness to stop thinking that the alarm we hear is just a noise, and an openness to respond to the message it's communicating. That's what having ears to hear is all about. But what about that secret of the kingdom that Jesus talked about? Jesus tells those who are with him after the crowds have gone that they have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, we said before, this sounds like they have some insider knowledge or special ability to understand that those on the outside don't have. But notice that Jesus still has to explain his parable to them. They don't understand it on their own. They don't seem to have some special understanding, some special knowledge, some secret that the outsiders don't have. So why does Jesus say that the secret of the kingdom has been given to them? The word that is translated secret here is mysterion, and it refers to a mystery or a secret that's been hidden but is revealed by God's grace. And the difference between those who are here with Jesus when he says, "To you has been given the secret," and those who have gone away is obvious when you think about it. What do they have that those who have gone away do not? What they have is Jesus. What's the secret that has been given to them? What's the mystery of the kingdom of God? It's Jesus. And even though Mark tells us down in verse 33 that Jesus explains this parable and the other parables to his disciples, we also see that even when Jesus calms the storm around verse 35, the disciples are still afraid. They still have no faith. They still wonder, who is this? And throughout the gospel, Jesus' disciples do not fully understand who he is. But they continue to stay with him. They continue to follow, even though they won't even begin to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God until after the crucifixion and resurrection, after the whole story has been told. Still, they follow him. Still, they let him lead. They do not refuse or reject the word, but they are receptive, and in time, they will bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. The parables of Jesus are an invitation to follow him, an invitation to respond, an opportunity to offer a response and to share the word that's been shared with us, to be part of the story. As we think about the parable of the sower this morning, I want to suggest that to follow the sower is to become a sower. Jesus calls us to be like him, to follow his example and share the word with others, even though the majority of the seeds we sow may not find good soil. Even though 3 out of 4 don't bear fruit, the ones that do bear 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Do we have ears to hear this morning? Can we hear and understand? Can we see and perceive? Are we willing to follow the one who calls us to bear fruit? May the Lord give us opportunities to sow the seed of the gospel this week, to share the good news of rescue and restoration, to lead others to safety. I hope you'll join us tonight at 6. We have a lot to talk about, and I think it's going to be a wonderful time together in the Word. May God bless you today and every day.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall Savior's love for me.
Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicated to your service, O Lord. Let us hold fast to that which is good. Render to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the needy and the afflicted. And honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.